Okay. Hope everyone had an enjoyable week last week. You were off. I had this cost of being in Yerushalayim, eating turkey in Yerushalayim. It's a special experience.
Hodu
l'Hashem Kitov. Exactly. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. And around this time of night, last week, I got this close to listening to Rabbi Wein speak. He spoke very beautifully at the convention. So I hope we'll be able to satisfactorily fill that void. We missed Parshas Toldos, which is a beautiful Parsha, but Parshas Ve'etzeh is also a beautiful Parsha. And one of the mitzvos, which at least according to some Makoros, is rooted in Yaakov's journey in the story of Parshas Ve'etzeh, is a very interesting one. I'll tell you, the sugya of Maaser Ksavim and Tzedakah, there's an unscientific reaction, but I've mentioned in previous contexts that Rav Moshe Feinstein years ago at an Aguda convention lamented that no one asked Sechus Tzedakah Shailos. That he used to get asked all these silly questions, and no one asked him Sechus Tzedakah Shailos. And they're real, you know, it's Simonim Reshachan Aruch, it's real halachos about Tzedakah. So if you take a look in Igros Moshe, there's quite a few Tzedakah Shailos, but they're bunched together, and the dates are actually all similar, because like afterwards people felt bad, so they started asking him those Shailos. For whatever it's worth, fast forward to Baltimore 2004, 2005, 2006. I've got a lot of these questions. It's very interesting. And I give credit to people that people have asked me, and more than once people have asked me, although those people who asked me, I don't see them here right this moment, but I've had more than one person ask me to give a shir on my search stuff. And the truth is, as we'll see, you will not have all of any of your particular questions answered tonight, unfortunately. I can guarantee you that. You need a series of shirim to address all the practical issues, when we'll be discussing more of the underlying basic fundamentals tonight. But I do have that sense, and in fact, I still recall 4+ years ago when Rabbi Weiner came to speak to the kollel I was in, before I had even applied to the job, although I was in discussions to consider applying. But I remember Rabbi Weiner was speaking to all of us, aspiring young Rabbanim or Mechanchim, and he was talking about very nicely about his experiences at Shomrei, and you remember him saying how he got such incredible shailas in his years in the shul, and some of them were really ones he had to take to Gdol Yisrael, and he specifically mentioned Hilchos Tzedakah shailas. I think he was specifically referring to Bernard Yaffe and shailas from the Gabbai Tzedakah, but still, again, it's a great testament to the shul, especially if you contrast that with what Moshe himself was lamenting at least a generation ago. Just asking Hilchos Tzedakah shailas is indicative of a good place to be. It shows one's care and concern, not only in terms of the heart to give, but to realize that heart has to have the discipline of the halacha as well. The connection, at least according to some, between this concept of Maaser Ksavim or Tzedakah, and for now I'm using those terms interchangeably, but we will make distinctions in a very short moment. But right in the beginning of the parsha, at the end of Perek Chav Ches, right really at the beginning of the first Aliyah, we're told about Yaakov is running away, and he wakes up and he says, "Ooh, this is the Makom Hashem and Shar Shamayim." And then V'yidur Yaakov Neder, he makes a solemn vow that if Hashem will be with me, V'shamrani b'derech, Hazeh, Sh'anokhi aleich, V'nosanli lechem lechol, V'agalubash, makes a deal with Hashem, V'shafti b'shalom v'isavi, and eventually I'll be able to return in peace to my father's house, V'yashem li l'alukim, and Hashem will be for me a God. What will be the result of heaven? Hazos Yashamti Matseva, Yebes Elokim. This, I'm committing myself, we'll have a Beis Elokim in this place. Of course, that's Haram Moriah, that'll be the Beis HaMikdash. And then he concludes, and this is how the Aliyah ends, V'chol Asher Titein Li, anything Hashem will give me, Aser Aastrenu Loch. I will tithe. I will give him, sounds like as a miser. And again, the term that's used is Aser, is a term of miser. And if you take a look at the Das Kanami Bali Tosfos, which is again a collection of the Rishonim from the Bali Tosfos on the Chumash, you look at the Das Kanim, so he quotes, they quote there a Medrash that says that from here Yaakov instituted, Yaakov was tikein, the idea of Maaser Ksavim, that you should give a tenth of your assets for the sake of charity. Now, of course, the quote real miser, the paradigm of Maaser, actually is told us in Devarim and Perek Chavav, and that of course is what's known as Maaser Ani. Now what's important to note, of course, is that Maaser Ani is not a tenth of all of your assets. What is Maaser Ani? A tenth of? That's when, we'll get that in a second, you're correct. Agricultural. Maaser Ani, the real halacha midaraisa of Maaser, Eli is right about both points. Number one is it's not something that you had to give every year. It wasn't a tenth every year. It was only if you used the Shemitah cycle in the third and the sixth years. That's number one. And number two, if you had, I don't know, investments in, the silks coming from the Far East, and maybe you had a field of cedar trees in Lebanon, you had other investments, and you had your farm in, Tel Aviv somewhere. So you, Miser Ani, that you had to give to Aniyim every two out of every 7 years, was 10%, not of the other things. Miser Ani is a Din D'oraisa, but it's limited not only to the 2 years of the seven, but also to your agricultural revenues and assets, not the other things. So the idea of this miser, how we'll have to understand it, we'll have to see throughout the shir tonight, but that's apparently an extension or something in addition to that. Miser Ani, the quintessential pure miser Ani, is limited to agriculture two every 7 years out of the seven, and this miser seems to be something that is very different. It's not limited to agricultural products, and it doesn't seem to be, at least as of yet, limited to given years. Now, before we get to the Rishonim in terms of the specific halachos, is there any other possible makor in the Chumash for this idea? Yaakov is not the first of the Avos. Do we have any other sense of miser before Yaakov? Very good. Very, very good. Anyone else want to give any other suggestions before we see that? Am I looking at this wrong? Any other suggestions? There's a possibility of Yitzchak, maybe. Yeah, a possibility of Yitzchak. The Rambam, it's interesting. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, when the Rambam is discussing the evolution of Torah, so you know that the 613 didn't take place, it wasn't completed until Har Sinai. But as the Rambam describes the Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, as they're termed colloquially, he explains how they were added incrementally. It wasn't just, obviously, also Noach, and it wasn't all or nothing. It actually, so to speak, was added on. In fact, the Rambam tells us right in the beginning of Perek Tes, Hilchos Malachim, Ashisha Dvarim Stavu Adam HaRishon, six of them were from Adam HaRishon, Avodah Zarah, etc., etc. Then he says, Hosef L'Noach Eivr Menachai, V'chein Haya Hadavar B'chol Olam Ad Avram. So there were seven mitzvot, says the Rambam, that the whole world had to keep until Avraham Avinu. Nitzdava Yeser Elu B'Mila, and then Avram had his command of Mila, and who his palo Shachris, right? The Rambam has that tradition, that Avram was the one who was Tikain Shachris. The Yitzchak, Hifrish Meiser, V'Hosef Tfila Acheres Fanos Hayom. Yitzchak, says the Rambam, gave us Meiser, that's Meiser Ksachim, that's what we're talking about. Not Yaakov, which was the Das Kainim in our Parsha, and not Avram as was suggested. Yitzchak, says the Rambam, and by the way, he also did Mincha. And then Yaakov hosted Giranosh of Ispal Arvis. So the Rambam doesn't mention Meiser Ksachim from Avram, or from, not from the father or the son. He goes in the middle to Yitzchak. Comes along the Ravid, Amar Avram. No, what it should have said, Roy Omer, about Avram, who his palo shachris, v'hifrish meiser. Yitzchak hosted Tfilah Chares. Says the Ravid, no, you got it wrong. It wasn't. You don't have to wait till Yaakov, but you don't go back just one generation to Yitzchak. Meiser Ksachim went all the way back to Avram, as it was mentioned. So take a look in the Kesef Mishnah. It's a long Kesef Mishnah. I'll just read you briefly. Tam harayvim mishum tachsiv ba'Avraham v'itein lo meiser mikol. That's in Parshas Lech Lecha. That's what was mentioned already. Very good. So what about the Rambam? Where did the Rambam get this from? What about that? Efshar Lomar. This is a very interesting idea. We'll get back to something similar to it later in the shir. Efshar Lomar, the Das Rabbeinu, the Avraham, lo ashkechan she'iser mimono. It was a pshat when it came to Machisedek that he looked at his assets and said, here's 10% of those. V'hosam davki isher hasholol hababi yodo. He was giving 10% of the booty from the war. V'lo b'toras meiser, right? The lumdusha term. It's not as a din in meiser. Elefi shekibdu Machisedek potzos lechem v'yayin u'bircho, since Machisedek reached out to him. So he figured it's etiquette. He gives back 10% from that war. Ubirchu, and he blessed him, etc. Aval Yitzchak, hu harishon, she'iser mimono l'shem meiser. Where did that happen? So it didn't really happen in the Pasuk anywhere, but he quotes the Drashas Chachamim and Breshas Rabbah that when he was, exactly what was mentioned, it was Eliyahu said the Me'ah Sha'arim. Yeah, very good. What parak is that, Chavav? Very good. We're about the wells, right?
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. So you basically have three different traditions in Chazal. It's very striking that, right, we're not going to get out of the office without getting my six husband. But whether, we didn't even get to that yet. Good, good. You're mechaven the Tosfos and Tainus. Louis, you're on the ball. But give me one second. It always is. It always is. But usually it's only the one who sponsors. But here it's been special sponsor for the whole winter, so someone else has to take the crown. Louis, you're the man. So we see already from these Rishonim and these Mamari Chazal three different possible approaches. Could be the most explicit of the Psukim is in our Parsha, and that could be the tradition that it was Yaakov, that's the drasha that the Das Akenim of Tosfos quotes, or it could be Avram, it's a little bit explicit also, but the Kesef Mishnah suggests that perhaps it's not so clear that Avram did it, because maybe Avram was doing a one-time deal because of the, you know, the geopolitical and diplomatic negotiations that he had to go through with Malki Tzedek, and perhaps it's the drasha from the Bereishis Rabba, which Eli correctly points out is from Rashi there, and told those that perhaps it wasn't either of them. It was, you know, often we know that Yitzchak is overlooked lots of times. You know, he's overshadowed by his father and his son. So maybe the Rambam meant it precisely that it really was Yitzchak. One way or the other, we have three different possible makaros from each one of the avos, perhaps as the source of my six suffim. However,
you could also say that since it happened with Yitzchak, then that's the makar that it could only apply in Arise in Eretz Yisrael, because I get where this took place.
Right. Why would that make sense? Mela, the agricultural din. So that's Tvua, but if it's just my assets, why should that be limited to Eretz Yisrael?
No, I'm saying that Tvua is totally...
We're not talking about Maaser Ani either. We're talking about Maaser Ksufim now.
I understand.
That precious Chazal is not limited to Maaser Ani, I don't think.
No, it's referring to Maaser of Tvua.
So maybe that's why the other Rishonim don't want that as a mocker. Because again, as we mentioned, Maaser Ani from Devarim in the third and the sixth year, that's one halacha. The chiddush of Maaser Ksufim is that it'll apply every year, and that it's not limited to Tvua, most importantly. Now, the question is, when you have that extension, you know, like every other area of life and social learning, the more you expand the halakha, the more likely you are to risk, diffusing its strength. Of course, what I'm hinting at is, if the da'araisa of Maaser Ani is this specific agricultural third and sixth year, so now we have this notion of Maaser Ksufim, does it still pack the same potency? In other words, is that also da'araisa? We don't know that yet. Although, you know, once you have drushos and allusions and psukim, we tend to think of them as da'araisa, but we'll have to see. Before we get to that very critical question, though, let me make Louis' point, which is that Tosfos and Tainus on Daf Tes Amud Aleph cites a medrash in the Sifrei, which is not extant in any of our versions of the Sifrei, but Tosfos apparently had a version of a medrash, which quotes the pasuk in Dvarim in Perek Yedalid, Aser ta'aser. Why the double lashon? Again, there's other explanations for why the double lashon. But according to this medrash that the Tosfos quotes with the double lashon, one from agriculture and one from all of your other portfolio assets.
So even when given by Sephani, he still has to give by the stuff in those days.
Correct. That's regardless of the makor, but in theory, yes, that's what we're talking about. Something in addition and separate from Maaser Ani. That's correct. And this idea of the Aser Taser, that is not only this. The Sifrei that Tosfos alludes to, we don't seem to have, but there's the Yalkut Shimoni that seems to say that. And there's also a Tanchuma on that Parsha in Re'ei, which interestingly enough, and again we'll have to maybe get back to this Tanchuma, specifically focuses when it mentions this new idea called Maaser Ksufim on supporting Torah. Very specific. Other Makaros we'll see are either specific about other categories of people or sources, and other Makaros are not specific at all. The Rashi about here, or even this pasuk about Yaakov and the Das Akenim, is not specific about who's the recipient necessarily. This Tanchuma, it's worth noting, is somewhat specific. And finally, just to give you the last possible source for this notion, not from the Chumash, but rather from Mishlei, Paragimel pasuk Tes, Kabed Es Hashem Mehoncha, you should honor Hashem with your wealth, with your assets. So the Talmud Yerushalmi in the beginning of Masech Tepeya quotes this as a source. For again, how do you show Hashem honor with your wealth? So not by necessarily buying a nice lulav or an esrog, but says Yerushalmi by giving that money away to charity, Maaser Ksufim. And in fact, the Mordechai in the Masechta Bava Kama quotes this Yerushalmi in this pasuk in Mishlei as the mocker. Now, if you see as the pasuk in Mishlei as the mocker, or not any psukim in Chumash, so that might indicate a lower level, that lower level chiyuv. Before we get now to the very important, heavily debated question of what is the status of Meister Ksafim, what is its chiyuv, on what level. But I want to ask a more lumdusha question first, and just to throw out some rayas, at least in one direction, although I really don't think it's necessarily conclusive, but it's worth thinking about, because, again, methodologically, it's a good way to think in general. We saw, whether it's Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Aser Taser, Mishle, right? We saw five different possible sources in Psukim or Chazal for this notion of Meister Ksafim. At the same time, we saw, and we are aware of Meister Ani, which is a real bona fide halacha, din d'oraisa, agricultural, 2 out of 7 years. Whenever you have something that's clearly related like this, some kind of an extension, right, one question we always have to ask ourselves, again, aside from the more narrow question of, well, if one is d'oraisa, is the other one d'oraisa, but more conceptually we have to know, you know, is this, you know, if you will, a brother or a cousin? In other words, is this din of Meister Ksafim the same status of Meister Ani, is just a broadened portfolio? It's not just, you know, don't put all your money in agriculture, you gotta spread it out and have diversified investments, so tzedakah also, or is it a completely separate din? I'll be more specific. When we speak about Meister Ani, and this relates to other Meisters as well, to the Kohen or to the Levi, there is a status as a chalos Meister which is required. In other words, what I'm alluding to is, what is the status of the produce before that? It's tevel. You're not allowed to benefit from it. In fact, it's a capital crime to benefit from your produce before you've tithed it, before you've given miser, or at least before you've done the hafrasha, right? You separate out that 10%, that 2%, and then that is a matir for the whole, right? There's a certain status of the miser, and the hafrasha is a very significant component to that. Is that true? It's Asr Ba'achila. Is that true here? Is that true here? Do you say that your money is Asr to benefit from, Asr to use, and therefore I need to be mafresh, I have my tzedakah account, and by putting that money there, it is a chalos meiser. It's basically the same thing. Whether it also, again, that doesn't automatically lead to assuming it's daraisa, but it may lead to it, and it certainly makes them, as I say, brothers, much closer together. An alternative possibility is that it's really, again, it's not exactly strangers, they're not enemies, they're very related, they're cousins. And that is a way of saying that, no, this idea is not a chalos meiser, you don't have a whole status on the money, this is the halacha in tzedakah. But, mida araisa, if you look around, it doesn't appear that there's any minimum shear for tzedakah. Mida araisa doesn't necessarily seem that there's a maximum shear either. That's actually, from these same sukkim, 2 years ago, Parshas Vayetze, the first year we had this series, we spoke about Mavazei Yosef Mechomesh, Gemara Baba Kama, from this pasuk, on these sukkim in the Vayetze as well. So that might be an upper limit, Achnas Usha, but that wasn't necessarily right. So what about a minimum level? So it could be that this halacha of Meiser is not a din in Meiser Ani, it's agricultural halacha. That's a very specific, narrow halacha, formal din, agricultural Haraya, it's only 2 out of 7 years, it's not even every year. This, if we're going to say it applies every year and other assets, that's because perhaps there's nothing to do with Meister. Perhaps all it has to do with is tzedakah. We're now superimposing a certain structure, just like Al-Yavadzeh says don't give more than 20%. Meister means don't give less than 10%. That's another way of looking. And the truth of the matter is, if you take a look at the Rambam, in Shulchan Aruch, for example, he's really just pattering after early sources. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, there's a whole simon in Shulchan Aruch and Yardeh, simon Reish Mem Tes, it's in what's known as Hilchos Tzedakah, and the title of this very important simon is Kama Chayev Litein. How much do you have to give, right? This is quite literally the $1 million question. How much do you have to give, right? They do exist, and they, Baruch Hashem, even exist in our day and age, but they are a unique population who want to give. Human nature is to want to hold what you have. But the Torah says not to. The Torah says you have to give. But needless to say, people always want to know, well, how much do I have to give? So what the Shulchan Aruch says? Shir nesinasa, how much do you have to give for tzedakah? Im yado maseges yiten kifi tzarech ha'aniyim. If you can really afford, if somebody comes to you and says, I need $100, and you can easily afford the $100, no matter what percentage of your assets that is, but you can afford it, then you should give it to him. The main yadom, I guess. But if you can't necessarily afford everything that the ani in front of you needs, yitain ad chomesh. At most, you should give up to 20%. Mitzvah min ha-mufchar. That's the ideal. Echad min asara, one-tenth, is a mida beinanis. Achos mikan, ayin ra. It doesn't say it's osur to give less than 10%. It just says it's not exactly the greatest thing. And then he starts getting into the details about the principal versus profit, keren and revach. That's already more complicated than we're going to get into tonight. But you already see kind of a sliding scale. Focus on tzedakah. So I think that the pashtus is, and we're going to see this, I think, overwhelmingly when we see the very technical question, but an important question of what is the status of the obligation, which we didn't yet see. But I think the pashtus is that this is really a halach of tzedakah, and despite the fact that we call it meiser, it really is at most a cousin, not necessarily a brother of meiser ani. But I do want to mention, in all fairness, that that's not necessarily universally true, and I thought that as a nice presentation of such a possibility, in a sefer which I've quoted before, the Chavetz Sharon on Chumash, so he has on our parsha, and he also talks about it a little bit on Lech Lecha, he has an essay where he asks this question, and he is very convinced of the alternative approach. He actually suggests a few rayas. I'll mention one or two of them to you now, that perhaps Meiser Ksafim is really a Meiser. It is a status, it's an extension of Meiser Ani. So for example, he mentions Louis Mucker starts off with Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't use some external source. Tosfos says, what's the Mucker? Aser to Asrenu. It's a pasuk of Meiser. One, what was the drasha that Tosfos quoted? One Meiser for your Tzvuah, one Meiser for your other assets. So it doesn't sound like those are very different halachos. It sounds like they're two versions of the same halacha. Another example, the Maharil, this is an unbelievable halacha, the Maharil says in a tshuva that all of the money is tevil before your mafreshit. You have no right to go buy yourself a new suit, and you have no right, I don't know if that would necessarily apply to like living expenses, I don't know if he meant that far, maybe he does, but certainly, let's put it this way, certainly any elective expenses. And again, I don't mean a complete waste, but, you know, you can live without a suit. I don't know if you would say that about putting food on your own table, although maybe you would. But the idea is, well, why? That's exactly... Okay, so that's... I'm hedging, because I don't remember what he says, how far he's willing to go. It's two tshuvas. But the point is, why it should be, it's still shocking, even if you take my hedge. It's still shocking. And I think this Chavetz Chaim Sharon, the Sefer, says very beautifully. He says it's hard to believe, and I don't think he's necessarily buying it, figuratively. But what that the only rational basis to say such a thing is if you see this as a real brother, maybe even a twin in a sense now, a real close brother. It's a very extreme maramakom. I'll give you another one which is a little bit more toned down. The Shvus Yaakov says that we have, what about the following? Let's say somebody wants, you know, someone has a particularly good year. So they want to give more money away this year for next. Who knows what next year is going to be? Now I have a lot of money, so I want to count whatever I'm going to give this year towards next year. Let's say I make $100,000, and I already gave away 10. But you know what? My expenses were down now this year, so I want to give 12 this year. And that extra 2 I want to count towards whatever I would owe next year. Can you do such a thing? Says Shvus Yaakov, no. Why can't you do it? Because you couldn't do it in Meiser, in agricultural Meiser either. And that's his raya. So again, you could have said, why bring a raya from that? What's the connection? Why should we have the chumras of that on this?
Agricultural seasonal.
So that, but I could hear you disagreeing. But what's pshat in the Shvus Yaakov? I'm just trying to bring out that again. Just again, I'm not saying that this is mukhram.
He's just saying that it's stuff is seasonal. In other words, that you're
you could just say that. You could. But what he does say is perhaps a little different. He says you learn it from Tzvuas Meiser Dagon. You learn it Meiser, you know, from agriculture.
But you
have to give your Meisers.
Yeah, but if you give Meisers after...
You've already given. You have that's a, it's after you took the other Meisers, so it's already not...
Well, but if you didn't give Meisers only yet, you have
to... I don't think so.
I think you have only for you.
Is it? No, I don't think.
You still have Truman regular Meiser.
No, the question no, he's asking is, if you've given those other two, but you haven't yet given Meiser Ani, is it Tevel?
I don't think it is.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
So how values falls apart.
Why?
We're comparing today's Meiser Ksavim to those days...
So you're asking on that Maril. I moved on from there. You're asking on the Maril about the Tevel. Okay, good. Let's say we don't want, I use the Maril to illustrate the point. You don't have to be as extreme as Maril, and the Shavuos Yaakov is not as extreme. But the point is, he's patterning the halachas of Ma'aser Ksofim very directly after Ma'aser Dagon. I'm using that just as an illustration that implies, again, maybe it's more innocuous, maybe, but the Chafetz Chaim Sefer, I suggest that perhaps it's more than that, that perhaps it suggests that extra dimension, that it's really what I'm calling a brother. And just to close the thread on this point before we move on to the next issue, so if you buy his presentation of at least the possibility of this, which I'm admitting is a chiddush, he then has a very creative explanation for the machlokas Rambam and Ravid, right? Which is what happened. Why does the Rambam seem to ignore Avraham? Avraham came first, right? Avraham seems to have given away the money to Malki Tzedek. The Kesef Mishnah has to defend him. The Ravid says, "What do you mean by Avraham?" Or for that matter, the Rosh Hashanah and our Parsha who wait till Yaakov. Again, the question is, what about Avraham? Why ignore Avraham? Avraham came first. So he suggests that perhaps this is the reason. Because when Avraham gave it, so a little bit like the Kesef Mishnah, but he has with a twist. The Kesef Mishnah suggested, well, maybe the Rambam held that was just a din in, as I called it, diplomacy. He just needed to make nice with Malki Tzedek. He didn't mean it as a din in Meiser. So it says the Chafetz Chaim. Just to, he spices it up a little bit. Because when Avraham gave, he was giving as a din in tzedakah, Ma'aser Ksofim just as a tzedakah. But comes along Yitzchak, or for our purposes, Yaakov in our Parsha, and they added the extra higher level dimension that they made it a more formal takana, namely that they made it an extension of Ma'aser Ani. They gave it the chalos Ma'aser with all of the attendant chumras that we've seen may go along with it. So if you see these as not, I mean, they're competing, but maybe not more competing as complementary. They're two different things. So he suggests that perhaps that's the reason why you have the evolution of steps going from Avram and or to Yitzchak or Yaakov, because one level was the lower level of just, you know, a shear of tzedakah, but that's all it is. It's putting a little structure on the mitzvah of tzedakah, which really otherwise made the raisa is very fluid and very ambiguous. Or perhaps Yitzchak and Yaakov come along, one or the other, and create a much more formal idea, namely that they make it as a subcategory of the real pristine, pure din d'oraisa of Ma'aser Ani, just as a possibility.
Well,
you're saying, well, he still wasn't an Ani, right? He still wasn't an Ani. He certainly wasn't an Ani. Well, again, it depends on, again, if Kesef Mishnah says it was a din in diplomacy and...
Okay, but the best,
it wasn't Ma'aser Ani. Okay, well, that you're getting to a point which I hope we'll have time to get to, which is, whatever this is, who do you have to give it to? So far, I've been alluding to Aniyim, and I mentioned it from the Tanchuma to support Torah. But we'll see that perhaps there are other poskim who see much broader possible constituencies as recipients for this Ma'aser, and I hadn't thought of it, so it's a good point, Joel, but perhaps getting back to Avraham, if you see Avraham as the source, so then willy-nilly, you obviously see it not being limited to Aniyim. Let's put it that way. I think that I hadn't thought about that. That's a good point. Okay. See, you're a captain for that. I have no comments.
Is the lady that, is he like the Ani?
Who? I mean, and listen, a Levi who doesn't get supported would be an Ani. That's true. But the Maaser you have to give him is independent. Even if the Levi next door is living beautifully, there's still a mitzvah d'oraisa to give him. I mean, you have a Tovas Hanah to give a different Levi too. But the point is, you're not doing anything wrong by giving it to a Levi who's not an Ani. It's not a din in Maaser Ani. It's a Maaser for a Levium. I say this as a Levi, is one which you have to give regardless of whether this particular Levi. And maybe he has a beautiful voice and he gets paid well to the concerts and maybe he's very good. Huh? Right. Okay, good. So now I've been alluding to, let's now get to a major battle royal. Like every Rishon and really more than that, every Posek, every Akron and Shulchan Aruch and Tshuvas all weighed in on the following question, which we've alluded to, but let's get to it now. Which is, we have this idea of Ma'aser Ksofim, everybody knows about it, and maybe it's Avraham, maybe it's Yitzchak, maybe it's Yaakov. What is the status? Is it a Chiyuv d'Oraisa? What's the alternative? It's a Chiyuv d'Rabbanan, and is there a third alternative? Less.
A
Asmachta would mean the Rabbanan, Divrei Nevi'im would be Divrei Kabbalah, but for now we'll call that the same. What's Minog? Maybe it's not Ichiv at all. So let's see some of the Shitas. There are very few poskim who say outright that Maaser Ksavim is a Din D'Oraisa. Almost none. One of the only ones of all people is the Shulchan Kadosh, who paskins based on some of these midrashim that we've seen until now. You see that, look, it's in the Torah. It's a Din D'Oraisa. The Taz in Yoredeya says it's a Chiyuv Gomor. So what does that mean? So the Aruch HaShulchan understands the Taz as holding that it's a Din D'Oraisa, although we'll see in a few moments that that's not necessarily Mokhrach. But maybe the Taz holds that way. The Chofetz Chaim has a sefer called Avas Chesed. It's a beautiful sefer. It's actually been reprinted just recently. You can see it's the black cover with the red writing. I think we just got it to give as a gift to Bar Mitzvah kids and Bar Mitzvah girls. And anyway, so that's a new version of the Avas Chesed. But in there, Chofetz Chaim was one of the most comprehensive in discussing these halachos. And one of the things he mentions there is a letter of the Gra. I think it's called Olam Letrufa, a letter that the Gra wrote, I think, when he went away there. He was going to Eretz Yisrael, I think is the story. And he left a letter to his family about how they should conduct themselves, right? It wasn't like now, like, you know, you're on the tour bus and you're calling on the cell phone to see how the kids were, and you get to the hotel and you check your email. He didn't have contact with them for a while, so he left them instructions. And we have a nusach of this letter, and he's very, very adamant about their obligations to give Maaser, and some suggest that perhaps the Gra held it was D'Oraisa. You connect that letter to the fact that in the Shnos Eliyahu, that's the Gra's parish on the Mishnayis, the Shnos Eliyahu, and that Mishnah in Peah, and also the Bar Tzedurah, really on Masechet Peah, the first Mishnah, also, again, we're pretty much exhausting all the Makaros, but that small group does seem to imply that perhaps there is a Din D'Oraisa. That's camp number one. Camp number two is a group of poskim, not huge, but I think at least as big, if not bigger, who hold that in fact these drashas are all asmachtas, and really it's only a din derabbanan. So the Maharil has two tshuvas where he writes at length that all these psukim are only ramazim, they're hints, they're not strictly makaros, and therefore it's only a din derabbanan. The Aruch HaShulchan, we mentioned that he thinks that the Taz holds it's d'oraisa, but he himself holds it's derabbanan. And in fact, the Chavos Yoyer of Yair Bachrach, so he has a very important tshuva, where among other things, he has a different understanding of the Taz. And he says, not only do I think it's the Rabbanon, even the Taz is the Chiyuv Rabbanon. He meant it's a real obligation. The Rabbanons are also obligations. But it's not more than that. Even the Taz felt it was only a Rabbanon. There's a Sefer HaChassidim, who has an interesting presentation. It's not 100% clear. But the Chida, who wrote, how many Sfarim did Chida write? Was it 100 or 80 something? Whatever. There's a mnemonic to know how many Sfarim he wrote. I forget what it is. But prolific, the Chida. So one of the many from the Chida wrote was a parish called the Bris Olam on the Sefer Chassidim. And he understands, he elucidates the mysteries of the Sefer Chassidim in general, and particularly here. He says the Sefer Chassidim also held that it's a din derabbanan, and a little bit more down to earth, although still staying in the Sephardi tradition, the Dirkei Yosef, also in Yardea. Paskins against those earlier poskim we mentioned that it's not a din d'oraisa. Don't get too ahead of yourself. It is a din d'rabbanan. However, both of these groups are relatively small, and if you add them up together, they're still smaller than the group of poskim who take the third approach, which is by far the majority position in halacha. This is like a newsflash to most people. Maybe not to you, I don't know, but over the years, and whenever I've mentioned this to people, I get this look like, oh my gosh. Overwhelming majority of poskim hold to the idea of Maaser is a minhag. At least I got that look at least from one person just now. Okay. The Bach, one of the earliest people to make this point, the Bach says in Yardea, his parish on the tour, that it's only a minhag. The Chavos Yoyer, same tshuva, she seems to prefer that even over the opinion of it being derabbanan. Rav Yaakov Emden in his Shelas Yaivitz has two tshuvas on this. In one tshuva, he mentions specifically himself that it's a minhag. He calls it der midas chassidus. He ties it into our parsha, into Yaakov, and he says we should have a midas chassidus. There's a minhag to try to emulate our forefather Yaakov. And then another tshuva, he quotes from his father, the Chacham Tzvi, and he says that my father, the Heilig Chacham Tzvi, also agreed with the Bach, and he gives even more proofs that it's not the Araisa, that it's not the Rabbanon. It's just a good minhag. The Pisrei tshuva, also in Yaradeh collects a lot of the makoros on this discussion, and also indicates very strongly that Rov HaPoskim hold it is only minhag. Excuse me. Furthermore, he mentions that there's no, until now I've only been quoting Achronim, and that's explicitly where the discussion was most fruitful. But they digged up a tshuva of the Maharam Rutenberg. And in fact, now there's a, I don't know if it's Machon Yerushalayim or Sadar of Cook, but one of the scholarly publishing houses not long ago published a tshuva Maharam Rutenberg as its independent extant source. And we now have the Sudik Maharam Kamos. For years, we just knew it as something quoted from the Pesach Tshuva. But there is a tshuva Maharam Rutenberg. You can get it in the library. And there, Maharam Rutenberg, who is one of the, when we have him, he's one of the most dominant Rishonim, I mean, very profoundly influential on Halacha Lamaisa for Minhag Ashkenaz. So he says also explicitly that it's only a minhag. I'll just throw out a few more names because I could go on forever, frankly, but the number of poskim.
Do you think it's true Moshe's lamentation of
not being asked? No, tzedakah is not the same thing as Meiser. That's the point. Tzedakah is a dindaraisa, of course. Tzedakah is a dindaraisa. The true is Pnei Yoshua, not to be confused with the Pnei Yoshua on Shas. It's his grandfather. The Chuvis is the grandfather of the Chedushim. Chuvis Pnei Yoshua, the Chasim Sofer, the Shvus Yaakov, and just to mention more in our generation, so one of the most masterful works of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and that's saying something since a lot of his work is masterful, one of the most masterful works of Chaim Kanievsky is already a sefer called Derech Amuna, which is a multi-volume set of Perish on the Rambam's Seder Zroya. If you open up the book, he made it look like a Mishnah Berurah. The Rambam is on top, looks like the Shulchan Aruch, and then he has two Perushim. One is more incisive, shorter comments. And then there's longer essays, which he calls Bir Halacha. And then he even has footnotes. I don't remember if he calls it Shar Tzion or not. But anyway, he has Derech Amuna. He also has a single volume. I think that's four volumes in all Zerayim. He also has a single volume called Shekel HaKodesh, which is in the same style on the Rambam Hilchos Shkolim. So if you look at Hilchos Matnas Anim of the Rambam, where the Rambam discusses this, Rav Chaim Kanievsky there also says that it is only a minhag. And I don't know how many years ago, I forget exactly how many years ago this was, but good 20 years ago at least, I think, the AOJS, the Association of Orthodox Jewish Scientists, I think they've done other projects, but perhaps their most well-known literary project, I mean, they do a lot of good things, but they published a book, I don't know why they picked this Padafka, but they published a book on Meiser Ksofim. It's an English book, but it's as good or better than any Hebrew book on the topic. They also have a lot of Hebrew in it, so you don't have to feel so guilty. But it's an English book. They're almost all, a lot of them are English, literally. It was in England, Cyril Dom, and I think Rabinovich was still in England at the time, was now in Malia Dumim, and they published it. And it's fantastic. It's such an incredible book, so succinct and so organized. And but one of the reasons I mention it now is because aside from collecting a lot of the earlier primary sources, they had ongoing dialogue with three great poskim at the time, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Diane Weiss, and Rav Shlomo Zalman. And in fact, Diane Weiss, two of his letters in response to the AOJS became part of his Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchok, and the Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Rav Moshe, I don't think that's part of their respective published Tshuvas, but their Hebrew Tshuvas are published in the back of this book. And both Rav Shlomo Zalman and Diane Weiss and Rav Moshe Feinstein, they all there in that book hold, the Rav Poskim hold, that it is only a Minog Balma, it's a Minog Tov, it's a good thing, you shouldn't just, you know, for no reason, ignore it. But it is not a Chiyuv Darabanan, and it's certainly not a Chiyuv Daraisa. In fact, Rav Shlomo Zalman there, I really meant to bring it. I wanted to read you the opening lines of Rav Shlomo Zalman. He has a very telling line there where he writes, in halachas like this, it's very hard to give very specific guidelines because it's really totally a minhag. And he suggests to Shlomo Zalman that even some of the earlier poskim who write things, really they weren't writing it as strict halacha, as what was their opinion, and I write some of my own opinions, it was just an opinion issue. He says these are hard shilas to poskim sometimes because it's not, he specifically says it's not like Hilchos Shechita or Hilchos Shabbos. He contrasts it. Because those are more black and white, rigid halachos. This is something a little bit more elastic. Yeah, so the Chofetz Chaim, it's not clear to me 100% what he holds there. He writes very powerfully. He's very pro doing this and living up to the standards. And Chafetz Chaim gives a lot of very practical advice. He's one of the big people, one of the proponents of having a separate bank account. You should have a notebook and you should be writing down things. He suggests auditing yourself at least once, if not twice a year. He's very, very regimented and very adamant about this. I saw in one of the more recent Sfarim that they wanted to be medayik from something that he said that he also held it was only a minhag. But it's not clear to me that he says that one way or the other explicitly. We only have 5 more minutes, so I want to just mention one broad machlokes wherein lies almost all of the practical shilas that would come before a rabbi, which is the following. The big shilas that come up nowadays are to a large extent in 2 categories. The smaller category is what money is subject to my sixavim, and within that you have capital gains and interest and the famous Tshuva by Rav Moshe about taxes, pre and post. That's a category. A much bigger category of questions is, let's say I know the money that I want to give from. Let's assume that I'm generous and I can afford to give away 10%, let's say. I take it back. I want to do it. I know the money. This is as big as the pot is. This is, let's say, post taxes, like Rav Moshe says. The shaila is, what recipients, what counts, what can count towards my suffering? Can shul dues? Can building projects? Can tuition? Buying svarim? Hachmasas kala?
Can.
I didn't see that one yet. If you'll ask me, I'll write it down. Then someone later in 20 years will have a shaila and they'll say, look, it's written somewhere in camp. All of these shilas are what counts for my suffering. Now, all of those shilas could be wrapped up into one neat question, which is, can you give my suffering to anything other than aniyim? Then we get into the details, but the basic question is, do you have to give to aniyim or not? And that basic question is a major debate today, even in Shulchan Aruch, and may even go back really to the Rishonim. So in 3 minutes or less, I'll give you the short version of the sugya. Going back again to the Maharam, the Chuvas that we now have in the Masada Rav Kook version, the Chuvas Maharam. So on the one hand, he says it's a minhag, but he seems to limit it to the poor. But then in the second Chuva, he speaks about somebody who wanted to give, he had a cousin who could afford to support his own children, but the guy was stingy. The kids were 10 already. He didn't want to support his kids anymore. So the cousin asks the Maharam, you know, do they, can I have Meiser money to give. Does that count if I give it to help support them? And the details of the story are not important, but Maharam says no, that doesn't, because the father can afford it. He's not poor. So they're not aniyim. He's a jerk, but they're not aniyim. So, right, that's a different mitzvah. But it's not called Meiser. But the shla, I think it's the shla. The shla quotes a sefer called Me'il Tzedek, which I don't think we have anymore. But the Me'il Tzedek is medayik in that maram that perhaps true in general, even for those richer children, you wouldn't have been able to help them, but to help them for Talmud Torah based on the Tanhuma, perhaps even the maram would allow it. So that's debatable, really. But the bottom line is.
Right.
But he may have said as an exception, exactly. So you see it cuts in different directions. Bottom line, the Maharil is very adamant, only for aniyim. The Maharil quotes this in 2 places. In Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, the Maharil says that he know in his community there were people that needed light for Hashanah. They're in shul all night and it's late. So people needed candles in the shul and they were using their Meiser money for that. Right? We're not talking about like going to Vegas or buying, you know, season tickets to the Ravens. They were using it for, you know, mitzvah purposes. Says the Maharil, no good, terrible. That's not what Meiser is for. Meiser is for the aniyim. And furthermore, in one of the other places where this is quoted in Halach Maharim Kamas, it's not in Yerdei Hechos Sadaka, and of all places, Hechos Purim. Because maybe for external other things, maybe. But what about Matanos Aniyim? It's also Indian. It's the same theme. So the Maharil says, and this is quoted by Magen Avraham and Hechos Purim, no, you cannot use Meiser Kesafim money for Matanos Aniyim. I do the same theme. It doesn't matter. What's the basic point of these poskim? Anything that I have a chiyuv to do independently, I cannot use my sirksafim to pay off that chiyuv. You can't piggyback, right, or double dip when it comes to money and mitzvos. If you have, if there's no chiyuv, so then it's an elective. But if there is a chiyuv, you certainly can't. That is in fact quoted by the Ramah. No less than the Ramah is a machmir on this. You cannot use, you can't count for mice or any other expenses. However, yes, because you're chayiv. Yes, exactly. Yes, that's exactly correct. They point out, again, this is where I don't have time to get into it now. It's complicated. They point out that extra expenses in taka, maybe this is the reason, you know, the schools, they always wondered as a parent, you know, the first they charge you tuition and then they have all these 18 other expenses. Why don't they just call it all tuition? So I'm sure the schools have their own reason for it. But maybe they're also machabin to this. Because Ramosha and others write that other types of expenses, just because you're writing the check to the school doesn't mean it's not deductible for Meiser. The basic tuition is not deductible because you have a chiv as a father to make sure your children learn. We'll get to that in a second, if I have time. So we'll get to it. No, I'm being serious. I'm sure you were also, the fact that you're laughing as you say it. I'm kidding. Anyway, but nevertheless, that is the Ramah. The Shach and the Taz both quote this Shalah, this other tradition, that you can be Makel. Again, that doesn't mean not giving it all. I'm saying we're talking now about what you can count towards it. And the Shach and the Taz both accept this diuk, whether you call it from the Aram or not, that perhaps there is wider latitude for other mitzvahs. Again, not for neutral activities, divrei reshus, but for other mitzvah activities. The Beragola there on the top corner of the Shulchan Aruch, he even tries to downgrade the Ramah to make it a little bit closer. There's a very strong tradition that wants to have much wider latitude for what should count for Ma'aser K'safim. Two more things to mention. The Chasam Sofer has two tshuvas on this, where the Chasam Sofer tries to make a pshara, and he says perhaps for a mitzvah chiyuvis you couldn't use Ma'aser K'safim, but maybe for a mitzvah chiyumis you could. And again, the logic is similar to what we mentioned, that if I'm not obligated to do it, so then I can count. But again, the bottom line is it's still a major break. The major jump you have to make is I'm not giving to aniyim. If you see it as patterned after Ma'aser Ani, it makes sense to take the Ramah Shita that it really is limited to Aniyim. So it's interesting. That's the Pashtus, and others do say this, but the Maram, who said it was a Minug, said that the Minug is Tadafki Kibbutz. So I'll mention two more things to close. So Rav Moshe and the Shlomo Zalman and others all say that when you're quote-unquote starting out, and I don't know what they mean exactly by this, when you first start having your own money and you can start giving, or maybe each year you can start this, you should be very careful to either say Bli Neder when you start giving, or you should just have in mind that I'm going to give Meiser this year, but it's not going to be limited to Aniyim. It'll be to this broader category subject to my rabbi's approval, so to speak. Yeah. But they make the point, let me just finish, please. They make the point that you should have in mind that you shouldn't be tied down. It's a Minog, it should be more latitude. Yeah, but the Maram says, default, the Minog is limited to Aniyim. But in Echanami, the more you see it as a Minog, again, this is what I've been hinting at the whole night, the more you see it as a Minog, the more likely it is it's not immediately patterned after Ma'aser Ani, and therefore l'chora you should be more flexible. Last point to mention, which was brought to before, it's a tshuva of Moshe Feinstein. So I asked for Moshe, what about Beis Yaakov? Or for that matter, Shalamis. Or, I don't know, I get Betzafila Rambam, wherever. What about your girl's education? So, what's the reason to say chiluk? Because technically, midaraisa, there's no chiyuv talmud Torah for girls. There's no chiyuv talmud Torah on the parents for their daughters. So Moshe says no. Moshe says, in our day and age, if the alternative would have been that they would have stayed at home and gotten the Yiddish mesorah from their parents, you want to send them to school, so maybe you could count that as your ma'aser k'safim because there's no chiyuv. But Mimela, if you're living in a city or a country where the government's going to force you to send them to school, so either you send them to a Jewish private school or you send them to public school, and then he assumes, you know, you're sakanas ruchnis, you're going to lose the neshama, so then as a father, you have a chiyuv. We'll figure out which box in the tayag to check it in. But you don't look at me funny, says Rav Moshe. You have a chiyuv to send your daughter to school. And if you have a chiyuv to send your daughter to school, then even if you're checking it off in a different box, maybe it's not the Talmud Torah box. Who cares? It's the I want to have from kids box. And that's a chiyuv to want to have from kids. Whether we'll have them or not, we all hope. But we have a chiyuv to want to have them. And if we have a chiyuv to want to have them, we have to send them to school just like we send our sons. Never says Rav Moshe, you cannot deduct girls' education from my son. It's one of his chumras, which I think is eminently reasonable and not.
As far as one, let's look at it.
Yeah.
I think I believe kafaras, right?
I mean, what do they do with the money of kafaras?
Right.
Okay. Good. All right. Yeah, Shekhayah, a good Shabbos.